It's 5:30. I'll call the meeting to order. First up is the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Anyone desiring to view the Open Meetings Act may do so. The document is available for public inspection and is located on the southwest wall of the council chambers as well as on the City of Wayne website. City Council may go into closed session to discuss certain agenda items to protect the public interest or to prevent the needless injury to the reputation of an individual and if such individual has not requested a public hearing. Item number 3 is an announcement. Wayne County Flood Study Public Open House will be held on Wednesday, December 6th at 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Wayne City Auditorium. Joel, do you want to tell us what's going to happen at the Flood Study Open House?
Joel Hanson, Floodplain Administrator. Basically, Brazos Department of Natural Resources is ongoing study that started, I think, 2017, roughly, to re-update the flood maps. They are going to be here with the latest update version that they have. We're not sure if it's going to change from the last one we started out. We're hopeful that if it does, it goes the right direction. But we want the public to have the opportunity to come and view those maps, too. We actually have sent out some invitations to property owners that we know were impacted by the last map we saw so they can come and ask questions and see the maps themselves. I guess I would encourage anybody that didn't get a letter that has property adjacent to the Logan Creek here through the Wayne area to show up and have the opportunity to look at the map and ask any questions they may have, because those are the experts coming up from the state, and they're the ones that did the actual physical study of the data, so they can hopefully answer questions anybody would have.
So we could see a map at this open house that we have not seen before. It is possible?
It's possible. I won't put anything past what could happen.
It's been a 6-year process.
That's terrifying or exciting.
We've seen 2 different versions, so.
And did we ask them to come, or did they just?
No, they asked if we would be willing to host one.
That's nice.
Yep. And they had a meeting back in 2018, I believe, 17, 18, with the first iteration of map, where they kind of brought in the county staff, city staff, and let them kind of look at it and ask questions to kind of get a feel for how the process might go. They laid out a deadline or a timeline of when this was all going to happen. COVID hit, and then they ran out of funding, and we pushed it back because we wanted to see some additional studies done. We questioned the map they had, and then I think Wakefield's had some issues, so they asked them to put back, and I think the latest was Randolph's working on a flood control project, so they were kind of holding off to let that project complete before they finished that study. So hopefully now it's kind of all coming together. My understanding from the emails that Les and Betty given too is that they now have funding that they may actually complete the process. So
this is mainly wards 1 and 4. What questions could the council members get from affected citizens?
I'm sure people are going to want to know why am I in the floodplain when I wasn't before? And that's why they need to come, because those are questions that DNR needs to answer for us. So
we can only give them the map and say this is if your property's in or out.
Any other questions for Joel?
Joel, excuse me. Where is the map available for the current situation?
Department of Natural Resources has an interactive map on their website where you can see the current map.
What is it, sorry?
Department of Natural Resources.
Will that be updated with this?
It also has the preliminary one available on that website that you can pull up to. Anyway, so that's why we're hoping it's the same one that's been available. We don't know of any changes. They haven't told us there's any changes, but again, until I see it, I will believe that it's...
We don't get a lot of... Our updates are like a monthly, nothing's happened, or they're working in Wakefield.
This will happen the next
3 months. Yeah. We get very limited updates.
Is there anything we could put like on our website for a link for people to get to that website if they can't find it? Just to help...
Yeah,
we can. If you Google Nebraska Department of Natural Resources interactive flood map, it will take you directly.
You just click on Wayne.
Yep. It's actually pretty user friendly.
Yep. So it's a nice GIS map.
And then, when does this flood study become the official floodplain?
Well, that's what hopefully they'll tell us tomorrow.
Okay.
We really have not got any information other than come and get your questions answered.
Okay.
We meet with them ahead of time.
Yeah.
I think it's 3:30 or something. We've got a couple hours with them ahead of time, so that we can be schooled on a little bit of that beforehand.
All right. Thanks, Joel.
Thank you.
Okay. Number four is approval of the minutes from our... Oh, yep.
Yeah, he was standing in front of my hand.
Oh, yeah.
Just one question. How are property owners affected by being in a floodplain?
They may have to pay for flood insurance.
And can they get flood insurance?
Yes, because we are part of the National Floodplain Program.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Item number four is approval of the minutes from November 21st, 2023. That's our last meeting.
I'll move to approve the minutes.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion on the minutes? Let's roll call. Lights are good. Minutes are approved. Now, item number five is approval of the claims.
I'll move to approve the claims.
Second.
Motion and a second. Questions, comments on the claims? Seeing none, let's roll call. Claims are approved. Item number six is action on application of certificate of payment number one from ID Construction Company, LLC, in the amount of $99,791 for the Wayne City Hall and Police Relocation Project. And I'm guessing KH is not?
No, I don't think anybody's on.
Okay.
But
do you want to take the lead?
I'm aware of. Yeah, sure. So this is for pretty much dirt work. And just to start the project, you've obviously seen they've done some dirt work. They've taken a lot of dirt out. They've brought a lot of dirt in. They've compacted a lot of dirt. And that's about where we're at. Otherwise, they haven't done anything on the inside yet. They've taken some cubicles down, what they're going to reuse. That's about where we're at so far. I think our first progress meeting is next Wednesday, I believe, with the architect and the contractor. Any questions on that or the progress? Again, you can't see a whole lot other than a big hole. They've taken out a fair amount of blacktop. The plans right now of that entire parking lot, probably about 50% is taken out, maybe even a little more than 50%. So in the plans right now is to concrete back a portion of it, and we'll have a little bit of green space or planting beds, but a portion will also be the old blacktop. Just so you're aware, right now that's the plan. I don't know if we'll make changes along the way. We may want to do more concrete. Maybe it's if you find a change order someplace else that might reduce cost, which I know doesn't happen real often, but could. You might want to, I would suggest that might be an area to maybe add back in, because you'll probably have to do it someday, and it's probably cheaper to do it now than it is in 10, 15 years. So, because that blacktop is, it's weathered. So, just so you're aware of what they're currently doing, it's not a full new parking lot, and they're not leaving everything as is. They have cut out quite a bit. So,
I'd just add that you may find that the base underneath that parking lot is not all that great either, and it'd be a lot easier to address if it's all gone versus trying to deal with a jagged strip through the center of it.
We're also looking at if you do green space out front, you're likely going to want it sprinkled, and you're probably going to cut a strip, an additional strip out of the blacktop anyway. If you want conduit for electrical, internally we've talked a lot about a Christmas tree there, whether that's where the Christmas tree goes from now on. You're going to need power at some point if you want to move it closer to Main Street, or I'm sorry, to 7th and Main. Also, if you want to plant a tree and let it be your Christmas tree, it might be short to begin with, but it'll give you 40 years or so of Christmas tree. So those are some things that we're talking about internally.
I'll move to approve the action on application and certificate of payment number one from Audi Construction in the amount of $99,791.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's roll call. Action on the payment is approved. Item number seven is action on the recommendation of the LBA 40 Revolving Loan Fund Review Committee on the Revolving Loan Fund application to Wayne's Economic Development Program by Weber Hospitality LLC, doing business as Gino's Steakhouse and Lounge. Luke Virgil's here. Luke.
Good evening. Luke Virgil, Director of Economic Development. The committee met on November 20th, right before the holiday, and sat down with Steve and Brittany Weber. They are the proprietors with Weber Hospitality and Gino's. They have already made a significant investment, and we paired that investment with some of their bank financing to get the total amount on the sheet, which is like $640,000. Their request is for $200,000 from this program. They're asking for a 10-year repayment period. The loan committee recommended that 10-year repayment period, and per the usual, the loan committee also recommended the interest rate be set at half the rate of the primary lender. State Nebraska Bank here in town is the primary lender at 7.25%, so the committee's recommendation is 3.625. I think Weber's will have a thing or two to say about that when they get up here. But after discussion with staff and council and the mayor, it was advised that going forward, we put together the spreadsheet that was added to your packet. This is specific to the program or the projects that have been approved through the LBA 40 revolving loan program. It does not include anything prior to the revolving loan, but this is a list of all the projects that have been approved, the loan amounts, the rates that were set by the primary lender, the recommended rates by the committee, the recommended terms by the committee, and then ultimately what was approved for rates, terms, and date by the council. This is just to give you a gauge of what has been approved in the past. I know sometimes I come up here and have to skim through my notes really fast to give you a read on what that is. We felt this would be better so that you can just kind of compare column by column what is each project getting.
And this is from the revolving loan side, not the initial money. Because those terms were much different.
Very different.
Luke, on the spreadsheet, what is Blazer LLC?
This is the company that purchased Innovative Protectives, Pat Garvin's old company.
How much is left in this fund?
Right now we have over $500,000, so if we approve the full amount of $200,000 today, it will be around $300,000. It's about a $25,000, $30,000 monthly regeneration. And then if there are any additional payments that come in, like an early payoff, that might bump it up quicker. And tax receipts have been healthy.
Very good.
I don't see the hotel on here. They use LBA 40.
They did, but they were in that preliminary group of, they had some grant funding, and there was also some loan funding in that first wave of $3.2 million. We are now, that has all been allocated. We are getting some of the payments back on those, and then those payments are being revolved out, and then excess sales tax revenue goes into this and is revolved out also.
Yeah, there's lots more loans than just this. That's the semi-annual report that Luke gives,
yep.
And you'll see a huge spreadsheet on all that.
A three-page spreadsheet that comes in. Like I said, in the letter, the recommendation was unanimous. We didn't have a lot of concerns with the application, so we, the committee, did not have a lot of concerns.
Not.
But I didn't hear
the first thing. I was like, oh. Okay.
Shut him down.
I thought you were burying the lead there.
Is there any questions from council?
Would the representatives from Weber Hospitality like to speak?
Stephen Brittany Weber, 1115 Lawndale Drive. Gino Steakhouse, 121 West 1st Street here in Wayne. I guess first off, we would like council to consider a 1.8% interest rate. It's a big undertaking for us. We have made significant improvements, which Luke already talked about. Some of those things are a new ice machine, a new water filtration system, a new countertop oven, new fryers, new plates and serviceware, new barware that all matches. We've painted, we've redecorated, we've cleaned the carpets. We have a significant inventory increase. We had to buy a new meat slicer. We've had to make repairs to the walk-in freezer. We've had plumbing and electrical updates done, and then we also have a new roof that's scheduled to start this week. As far as what we've done employment-wise, there was about 8 employees at Geno's prior to. We have 27 on payroll right now. We're running 5 to 6 wait staff per evening, plus 3 to 5 cooks in the evening. Funds will be used to just continue to update the building. We've done some cosmetic updates, but it does need more mechanical. The compressors for our walk-in cooler and freezer both need to be replaced. We're going to do some more permanent cosmetic updates, add some windows, change out the flooring, update the like the ceiling tiles. We want to make the bathrooms ADA compliant. We want to add some coolers and display pieces for if we add on take and make meals. We want to redo the entire bar area. It's pretty much like rotten back behind, so we need to rip out the whole thing and start from scratch. Repair and replace the tables and chairs, replace kitchen equipment as needed. HVAC needs to be updated. There's 4 furnaces. We know 2 of them could go bad at any minute. We would like to add catering on, so we want to be able to update some catering equipment, possibly purchase a catering vehicle. Concrete repairs outside with the parking lot and by the kitchen. Exterior paint, new signage, new windows, new vinyl for the windows. In the month of November, we did 688 covers. That was from November 15th to November 30th, so that's 688 meals. So far this month, from December 1st to the 3rd, we've done 284. We have about 40 holiday parties booked already, and we get phone calls every day for those. So we really just kind of jumped in as hot and heavy as we could. So I guess any questions that you guys have for us, these are just things I wanted to point out of what we've been working on. We were crazy busy on Friday night, the fullest I've ever seen the restaurant. I would say 75% of those people were from out of town, so it is drawing a crowd from outside of Wayne.
Luke, do we have a approved rate for Johnny Bird?
I'd have to go back and double check with Greg. I mean, at the time that council was approving it, they did not have a finalized rate. So we have to go back to the closing document. I think it's probably in there somewhere.
Messes up my average.
It's got to be real close to that 2.85 that was done for town capital. I don't think interest rates were jumping around that much between February and December.
Yeah, I would say you're right, Cale. It's probably in that ballpark.
What was the interest rate you were asking?
1.8%.
Well, how are those averages looking?
Getting there.
I would just, it's difficult because we haven't always followed the recommendation of the loan committee. And sometimes we have, sometimes we haven't. There's always been other circumstances. I know that with the Blazer LLC loan, we reduced that interest rate because they were only 5 years.
If I recall correctly, I wet my plants, did not request a reduction.
And revolving loan fund. So I just thought
I think the sanctuary apartments did not request a reduction, and shortstop did not request a reduction.
and then if they don't request a reduction, we can give it to them.
We just give them whatever the committee did.
I think one thing to take into consideration for this business, it's not only retaining business, but as they've kind of alluded to, the growth that's already taken place and is potentially going to happen. You don't get a business that draws in people from out of town and draws people to your downtown very frequently. I mean, this is what a staple that a young couple wants to undertake this business. I mean, I'm absolutely thrilled. I've already eaten there a couple of times, I think, and I've enjoyed every second of it. So, you know, this is the revolving loan fund is what we have now to incentivize businesses. So I personally have no problem with going lower for the uniqueness of this. You know, you look at the other places on there and none of them match, you know, what I think of as the something that's going to bring in sales tax. You know, the equivalent that I can see on there is probably, you know, the Knicks Wayne LLC. That's pretty close, but it's not downtown. And that's not like the compounding effect that a downtown business has. A person comes to town, they're already downtown. Are they going to go shopping beforehand? Are they going to go to the brewery or one of the bars afterwards? You know, that's something that a downtown business has that something like Nick's LLC doesn't, where it's, yes, we're going to spend money here in Wayne, but we're on our way out of town. You know, we're going to eat our sandwiches on the road or when we get back home. It doesn't have that built-in multiplier that a downtown restaurant does have.
If you want me to add to that, half of our Christmas parties are from Wakefield, Laurel, Randolph, outside of the Wayne community, and they're 20 to 40 plus people. So each one of those parties brings people into town just that we wouldn't have on a regular Saturday night. So.
And I think it's just great to have a good steakhouse in a small, like you go to a small town in Nebraska, you think you're going to have a great steakhouse, but look around. I mean, there's not that many really. Like, I can't name you any of the neighboring ones that are a draw or someplace where your friend from out of town or New York or wherever comes in and you're like, you know, give them Nebraska beef, you know, give them a good steak. Well, where are you going to take them to? Norfolk, Omaha? I mean, it's a blessing, really.
That was a good point. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
I know that it was just toying back and forth between 2% and the 1.8, and like, well, I don't know. Does it make much difference? I, you know, want to be fair to the other people who have come before us, but
I think this is the most unique business that we've dealt with before. And, you know, Johnny Burt's very, very unique. I will give them that. They're downtown also. They were in kind of a different situation, just the way that they're naturally set up. But with being a not-for-profit business, you know, they're that weird benefit corp.
Yeah.
But they also are... If any on the list would be comparable, I would say Johnny Bird is probably the closest. The rest don't check all the boxes that I think this project does.
So I always make the comment that we were hung up on a 3% a lot of in the past. We were also borrowing money from our electric department at 3% interest. So I think the council had wanted to get 3% back. And that was, again, prior to this revolving loan side, because we have paid the electric department back. It's been 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, this is money that's stagnant.
Yeah. And they'll be at 40 fund.
So when you make that point, I'm okay with the 1.8%.
I don't make the point to sway. I'm just letting you know what the facts were beforehand when the 3% was
and
kind of the standard.
It's not so far off from some of these others. You know, unfortunately, interest rates are kind of high right now, so mm-hmm. that puts your half at already. Still
I think it's an, personally, you know, I'm not a voting member, but I think that's an easy ask. Easy.
It's not that far off the average of these, and if we, if I were to remove that kind of uncharacteristic business there, it's pretty darn close.
I will move to approve the action on the recommendation of the LD 840 Revolving Loan Fund Review Committee on the loan application to the Community Economic Development Program by Weber Hospitality with an approval loan of $200,000 for 10 years at the interest rate of 1.8%.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, let's roll call. And it is approved.
Can I just ask a quick question? You own the building, right?
What's that?
You own the building,
yes.
So that's what you'll use as security is the building? Okay. And then are you wanting annual payments or monthly payments?
Monthly payments.
Monthly? Okay. And when are you wanting to close?
We have to set a date with our contractor before we start. Hopefully it'll be this summer.
Okay. So you'll just let me know?
We don't
yep.
Need,
okay.
I mean,
sounds good.
Five's good enough.
Yeah. Let me know like more than like 2 days
Betty
in advance.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Yes, I will. As soon as we get a date set with him. Because our intent is to, as closely as we can, set a date with the contractor, but then also be able to start purchasing materials earlier, so we'll take the loan out probably a month or so before we
okay.
actually start construction, so we can pay for materials and
okay.
stuff.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Number eight is action to appoint Joel Hansen, Class A, license number S-1155, as the city street superintendent for calendar year 2024, January 1 through December 31st, 2024, for the purpose of the 2024 calendar year highway incentive payment to be issued to the city by the Nebraska Department of Transportation in February of 2025. Joel, do you want to tell us about this? Just very broadly, you mentioned in the agenda meeting how we get a bit of a incentive from the state for this.
So you get an extra incentive payment because you actually have appointed somebody that's in your employment as the street superintendent. There's other smaller communities that may just hire an engineer and have them do it. They do not get the same incentive payment. So that's the difference.
That's is it still $3,000?
Yes. Instead of $1,500, it's $3,000.
Okay.
And basically you just have to pass the test to get certified as a street superintendent, get a license in the state. And the difference between a Class A and a Class B is Class A supervisors employees.
Any questions for Joel? This is kind of a annual housekeeping thing, but I didn't know about the extra incentive for having the full-time employment, so I wanted to make sure I shared.
I'll move to approve the appointment of Joel Hansen, Class A license number S-1155, as the city street superintendent for calendar year 2024.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's roll call. The appointment is approved. Item number nine is resolution 2023-82, authorizing the signing of the year-end certification of city street superintendent form 2023. This is also just housekeeping item.
Yeah, is this part of your job as street superintendent? I mean, is this part of that, or is that something totally different?
To sign this part? Yeah,
yeah,
it's part. Basically saying we do follow the state statutes.
I'll introduce resolution 2023-82 and move for approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's roll call. Resolution is approved. Number 10 is resolution 2023-83, appointing JEO Consulting Group, Inc. as a special engineer to be used on various City of Wayne projects in 2024.
This will be the same type of agreement. We've had them since 2018, I think. Is that when we did it?
Whoa.
To approve them?
Has it been that long?
No.
I don't know what that
means. Can't be.
No.
We've got them for a while.
I'm trying to think, because when I first started, we were doing we'd go out for CDBG loan or CDBG grants. We'd have to interview and select that way. So what's that?
I was just doing the math, and I was.
So maybe it wasn't. It was before. It was pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. So 19 maybe. Maybe it wasn't 18. Maybe it was 19.
Well, we did this because you get special treatment in those grants that are tied to, you have to go out and get the most qualified engineer.
You can just use, if they've been your approved engineer for 3 years in a row, then you don't have to go to that. You can just choose them.
You can just choose them. And I don't know, for newer council members, what we were running into before was you'd have to select them based on their criteria of who was the most qualified.
And well, then you
negotiated. The most qualified were sometimes 2x, you know, the cost. Mm-hmm. So this is why we went with the dedicated engineer.
And it still doesn't say you can't go out for procurement, but it's just you don't have to. You can actually use your in-house engineer. So same type of as before, we pay them $1,000 a month. Roger's here. Typically, Mondays and Thursdays from 8 until noon, we get a 5% discount on his services when we don't have a scope and service document. So there's some benefit to that. It's nice to have him around. Casey probably uses him the most because that's Roger's expertise too, is water and sewer. So I'm sure if Blake Eisman would be here, he's their street guy, Joel would use it more, but it's been nice to have him around. So,
Casey, any comments you want to add? Working with Roger, everything's going good?
Yeah, no, I appreciate when we have him like this because it's easy to call him and ask questions. And he comes down and does, you know, documents for us that there's rigorous paperwork that maybe we're not used to doing. So he's knocking out real quick for us and stuff that he has to sign off on or an engineer has to sign off on anyway.
We've had him do some little projects where you have to have him do something and submit it to the state, but we don't have to do a full-blown spec on it and things like that. So he's able to sign off on some of that type of stuff just in the office. So I'd recommend appointing J.L. again.
Any questions on that?
Sorry, Joel.
I'll introduce Resolution 2023-83 and move for approval.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's roll call. Resolution is approved. Item number 11 is Resolution 2023-84, authorizing membership in the League Insurance Government Health Team, also known as LIGHT. Wes, this is your time
so
to shine.
So this was probably a year or so ago. Mm-hmm. I think it was summer of 22. The League started this program for health insurance. They already have LARM, which is for property casualty, things like that, insurance. City of Wayne, we don't use LARM, but we could. We'd have access to it. So this is their healthcare part. Again, they just started about a year and a half ago. The purpose of it is to get better rates for smaller communities that have a smaller pool. They wanted to pool more of us together to get better rates. Back then, they were wanting to go pretty fast with mm-hmm. it. I wasn't really excited about the speed at what they were going. We did have some employment issues with whether they were going to cover certain people we were covering. And so we just kind of paused it and just kind of told them, now we're good. And at that time, we actually got a decrease, about a 10% decrease in Blue Cross Blue Shield, and our deductible even went down. So it wasn't just the right time. We were actually going to probably pay a little bit more to go with LIGHT. Now this time around, went out for proposals again, and this one will actually, so what's confusing is this is a Blue Cross Blue Shield plan. We currently have a Blue Cross Blue Shield plan, but we're changing the provider that LIGHT, that the League is doing, or that they're part of. If we stay with where we're at, our premiums go up about 14
or more than that.
20%. Yeah. Our premiums go up. This actually, our premiums slightly go down. The deductibles go down. Premiums as well as deductibles. Oh, I'm sorry, deductibles remain the same. The catch, right? Where's the catch? Is that they will renew July 1 instead of January 1. So we will have a guaranteed reduction for 6 months. Then you don't know what's going to happen. The hope is that we now have a pool of multiple communities instead of just us. So when you can spread that risk out, you usually get better rates. So the thing is, if rates come back high, then you can go back to the other plan if you want to. the nice thing about this is employees aren't going to see a difference because it's still Blue Cross Blue Shield. Because I hate switching insurance carriers. I don't like doing that, jumping up and down or around with it. Even if you're saving a little bit of money, I still like to keep the same insurance just for continuity.
Could so. Light change providers in July or June, whatever you say?
They probably could. I don't think they're tied to Blue Cross, but Blue Cross has done a lot of work for them. I think that would be tough for them to do. Again, the hope is you keep getting more people into this program, and so that pool increases.
So we might get a reduction, and then in June,
you could get it. Yeah, you could get a yep. But you got to weigh that if you do January 1 with your current provider, it's probably about a 20% increase. This, you're taking the chance that for 6 months you're going to stay the same and actually decrease slightly. So
that makes the decision quite easy.
So what you would do here is this resolution actually approves multiple documents that. That I assume the mayor would sign. Yep. That you're a member of it. Last year they were going to make us be a board member because they were scrambling to try to get, I think they had five communities on board, and I don't know how many there are now, but I bet there's close to 20 communities on. And we don't have to be a board member this time, so that's a plus for me.
We'll send you down anyway.
Yeah. Questions about that? Betty was supposed to explain it, but.
So we get a guaranteed savings by signing up now, and then perhaps we're just kicking the can down the road to June, but at least we kicked the can down the road. Mm-hmm.
And you had 9 months into your fiscal year of very good terms. Yeah, you may get hit for 3 months.
Yeah.
You, as in the city, as well as employees, could have a premium increase at that time.
Well, Gary Bailey recommends it also.
Yeah.
So this is the other thing. Last time around, some of the questions I had was, okay, now you're going to use somebody in Lincoln to do this and not your local agent. Gary has everything. His commissions are the same. I asked those questions. So Gary still isn't playing ball with us here. And he's the one that will come and give updates and things like that on the program. So he's just a broker for the light program.
I'll introduce resolution 2023-84.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, let's roll call. Resolution is approved. Item number 12 is a series of appointments as presented. Nothing really to add, no real changes. The only thing that is of note is Tim Sutton's not there. He is retiring at the end of the year.
Make a motion to approve those appointments as noted.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's roll call. Appointments are approved. And number 13 is the evaluation of our city attorney, Amy Miller. And I ask that we go into closed session.
I'll make a motion that we go into closed session with Council Steen, the Mayor Steen, and Ted.
It's up to you.
I think I've asked Wes to talk to department heads, so
okay.
That'd be good.
Then, yeah, I suppose you should say Wes. That's my motion.
I'll second that.
And we will adjourn when we come out, so. Preview. We have a motion and a second to go into closed session. Any discussion? Let's roll call. We are in closed session.
Motion to come out of closed session.
There's a motion. Motion and a second. Any discussion? Let's roll call. And we are adjourned.
Cool. Yeah, Ryan got